The Japanese Prime Minister is holding talks with Theresa May later. Shinzo Abe is visiting the UK to discuss arrangements, of course, for the Rugby World Cup taking place in Tokyo this year. But also he has suggested that he will be raising Brexit with the Prime Minister and, of course, the importance of avoiding a no-deal outcome. Well, joining me to discuss the visit is Shinichi Ida, Minister of Public Diplomacy at the Embassy of Japan. Minister, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the studio this morning. From your point of view, how much of that do you agree with? What will Prime Minister Abe be looking to achieve with this visit?
Thank you, Nick, for having me this morning. It's always my pleasure to be back to the studio. We are very excited, Prime Minister Abe's visit to Britain, particularly at the beginning of this year, because Japan's presidency of the G20 and the Prime Minister is going to host a summit in June this year in Osaka. And I'm sure Prime Minister May and Prime Minister Abe are going to discuss a lot of issues of global importance, including world economy and global issues. And in that context, I'm sure Prime Minister Abe will certainly mention the issue of Brexit, because the UK is the fifth largest economy and 40% of Japan's investment to the EU is actually happened in within the United Kingdom. And there are 1,000 Japanese companies operating in the UK. They have created over 150,000 jobs. So we have a big stake in the process, so to speak. So I'm sure in light of the very close and the good personal relationship between the two prime ministers, Prime Minister Abe will raise the matter in a very frank and open manner.
And what kind of thing will he potentially be suggesting? Because presumably he will have the words of those companies ringing in his ears about about those investments, about keeping those jobs safe.
It is entirely up to the two leaders what kind of things that they are going to discuss. But I can certainly say that the Prime Minister will make an appeal to the Prime Minister May that we earnestly hope that no deal Brexit will be avoided, and if it has to happen, its negative impact should be minimized.
With that in mind, then, to begin with, first, would that be seen as an endorsement of Theresa May's deal with the EU that she has negotiated, she's trying to get through Parliament at the moment, despite the difficulties that's going to bring for Japanese manufacturers looking to move, for example, cars into the rest of the EU?
Nick, you're absolutely right. The lot of Japanese companies have invested in this country as a gateway to Europe. For example, the Japanese car giants such as Toyota and Nissan have been exporting 60% of their car production within the UK to the continental Europe, and they import 30% of the required parts and components from the European Union. It's an extremely important factor for them, the market access that you referred to. I think it is important for the market access factor to be given the utmost importance in ensuring the smooth Brexit and successful Brexit in that regard. And if I may draw your attention to the fact that Japan submitted a paper to both to the UK government and the European Union in September in 2016 that was called Message to the UK and European Union with regard to Brexit. In that proposal, one of the most important elements we suggested to both of them was the introduction of the transitional period so that Japanese businesses operating in this country would be able to avoid the confusion and also would be able to adapt to a new environment after the UK's departure from the European Union. So, obviously, the draft withdrawal agreement, within that draft agreement, the introduction of the transitional period is a very important element. In effect, the status quo would continue after March 29th until the end of 2020, if I understand it correctly. Mm-hmm. So what we've been requesting is certainly consistent with the Prime Minister May's proposal. At least I can say that.
I mean, does that mean that Japan sees itself as something of a broker between the two parties?
No. We are not. we are not the direct negotiating party of the process. It's a negotiation that has transpired between the UK government and the European Union, and Prime Minister May is in the process of domestic ratification process. So Japan will not be certainly be a broker of the process, but we, as I said, we have huge interest in the process. We've been urging both the United Kingdom and the European Union to be predictable and clear and transparent in the process dealing with the matter of Brexit, because it is, in our view, it's an issue of global implications in light of the economic consequences.
And finally, Minister, would the Prime Minister, Prime Minister Abe, be nervous about getting involved at this stage? Because other figures, I'm thinking even going back to the referendum and Barack Obama, were criticised for effectively getting involved in what many in the UK at the time saw as a domestic matter.
I recall President Obama's words about the issue. Certainly that is not the Japanese taste. Nick, Brexit is extremely important for Japan and Japanese businesses, that is for sure. But at the same time, I really want to reiterate, UK is extremely important international partner for Japan and vice versa. Brexit is not the only issue for the two prime ministers to discuss today. They will certainly discuss such important issues as North Korea, for example, and the security cooperation between the two countries, the Royal Navy, since the Prime Minister May's visit to Japan in August 2017. The security and military cooperation between the two countries have greatly developed. The Royal Navy has been dispatching naval vessels to East Asia to help enforce the economic sanctions against North Korea, for example. Certainly, the two prime ministers will reaffirm the importance of further promoting security and military cooperation between the two countries as well.
Prime Minister Shinzo Abe of Japan is visiting the UK this morning, meeting with Theresa May, discussing, of course, Brexit, but also other issues, including Japan's international cooperation with the UK, and also enormous public events like the Rugby World Cup taking place in Tokyo later on this year. Well, joining me in the studio is Shinichi Ida, Minister of Public Diplomacy at the Embassy of Japan, discussing the visit. Minister, if we can return, we've obviously covered Brexit in some detail, but if we can talk about some of the other issues to do with the visit. I mean, first of all, just building on perhaps even the Rugby World Cup, it feels as though Japan is changing its relationship, developing its bringing UK citizens, world citizens, as a tourist destination on a much larger scale than it was before. Is Japan itself changing?
I think it is changing quite fast, I think, because the Japanese government, Abe administration, has set the target of 40 million foreign tourists visiting Japan by the year 2020, when Japan is hosting the Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics. Mm-hmm. And it's quite visible. The number of foreign tourists visiting Japan is increasing wherever you go in Japan, actually. So it is we are very much excited about the fact that the Japan is becoming much more visible, than in the past. And this tendency will become even more apparent when Japan is hosting the Rugby World Cup. Starting from September this year, and also, as I mentioned, Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics in 2020. I think this trend is evidenced by the fact the opening of Japan House London, for example. Rick, you might remember we talked about Japan House.
Of course, yes, back last year.
In September last year in the studio. And I'm very happy to report to you that over 260,000 people have visited Japan House London and Kensington High Street already. It's been a smashing success. And I'm sure that the British people's interest in Japan will be greater as the Rugby World Cup and the Olympics and Paralympics will approach.
How does this actually tie in with some of the challenges which are affecting Japan, though? I'm thinking that it is a country which has seen economic issues. It has had low inflation. It has dealt with low productivity for many years now, but also has demographic issues. Its workforce is older, and it has, you know, it has had issues bringing in a younger workforce from elsewhere in the world.
You're right. Japan is faced with a lot of issues, and one of the prominent ones is the very speedy aging society of the population, and actually the Japanese population is diminishing. It's not increasing. It's a serious issue. And the Prime Minister Abe has been determined to address this grave matter. And he's been, the administration has been working very hard to mainstream the female labor force, for example, under the banner of the society where the women can work in a bright manner. And the number of female objectives in the Japanese major companies is increasing. It's a good sign. And also, we've been helping out mothers who are with the small children by providing a lot of care services for children. And also, I really want to mention there was a new legislation introduced to the parliament at the end of last in the second half of last year to open up the Japanese labor market to the foreign workers. And all those things together to yield the positive results in addressing the demographic issue that Japanese society is facing.
With that in mind then, Minister, how is Japan's view of itself in the international community, but also, I suppose, domestically, actually changing?
The Japan's Japan's position in the international forum, I don't know if we should call it a change or the development of the accumulating effort Japan itself has been making in close cooperation with such international partners as United Kingdom or the United States. And Japan, as I said, Japan Prime Minister Abe is hosting a G20 summit in Osaka in June. And in autumn, Japan is hosting the what is called TICAD, Tokyo International Conference for African Development. And it's a huge summit meeting with African leaders with regard to the poverty eradication and sustainable development of Africa. So through those international initiatives, it is certainly our intention to heighten our international profile so that we can more effectively contribute to the resolve of such global issues as climate change and extreme poverty and others.
This is coming at a time when the international order is changing. I'm thinking of the obviously the US being the most prominent example of this, President Trump changing what the US does and feels about the rest of the world. The reason I bring this up is, does Japan feel that it has to come forward where this, perhaps there's been an absence in the world stage, as the US pulls back, perhaps Japan comes forward?
I really want to mention that Prime Minister Abe has a very good relationship with the President Trump, and they met many times, and they had numerous phone conversations. Whenever any issue arises, for example, when the tension is heightened with regard to North Korea, they pick up the phone and they talk with each other immediately. But at the same time, it is true that there's a concern with the some trade policies, namely the trade tensions, trade friction between China and the United States. I think it is quite important. Such countries as the Japan and the United Kingdom, who have been upholding the principle of free trade, to send a message to the world that the promotion of free trade and the free international trade based on rules are extremely important. And in that regard as well, Prime Minister Abe's visit at the beginning of this year and his extensive talks with Prime Minister May would be quite significant.
Yes, on that note, I know that one of the announcements that Prime Minister Abe will be making will be about the relaxing of rules about exporting British beef to Japan, obviously many years, nearly 25 years after the BSE crisis. Japan has been slow compared to other countries to change those restrictions with the principles of free trade in mind. Why now? Why that timing? Because it is, of course, significant when we're approaching Brexit.
Japan is not an exception that has been facing a difficulty when it is trying to open up its market. There are a lot of strong political lobbies who are always resistant to the opening, liberalizing the market. But extremely fortunately, Prime Minister Abe has been a very strong prime minister. He's been in the prime ministership for over 6 years, actually, believe it or not. I mean, in this country, Margaret Thatcher was the prime minister for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. I think it is 13 years, to be precise. But by the Japanese standards, for one prime minister to be serving more than 6 years is quite an exception, actually. Prime Minister Abe is a very strong leader. So under his leadership, Japan has been the strong advocate of the free trade, international free trade, as evidenced by the fact we took the leadership role in concluding the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, for example, and that came into force December last year. And also we
despite the US pulling out, of course.
Despite the US pulling out. And also I want to mention that the Japan-European Union free trade agreement, that is more precisely called Japan-EU Economic Partnership Agreement, was also concluded, and ratification process is done, and it will come into force next month. So, thanks to Prime Minister Abe's strong political leadership, both in the spheres of international and in domestic, for the past 6 years, Japan has been the standard bearer of the international free trade.
The reason I ask about beef is, of course, that presumably he will be looking for reciprocation when it comes to food exports from the Fukushima region, which is affected by the nuclear disaster. I know the UK has been an advocate of, the EU, of course, has limited trade from exports from that region.
It is a consistent position that the any measures in relation to the Fukushima incident should be based on science. And we are very grateful to the UK government that the UK government has been taking a very reasonable measures in that regard. We have they've been consistent that the measure should be based on science as well. And it's UK has been quite kindly active within the European Union. To make the EU measures fairer in relation to Fukushima incident happen. And actually, massive relaxation took place in Brussels as well. I think it happened in 2017.